Good morning. Today is Thursday, April the 12th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
You're pensive.
Well, I was just, you know, hoping you were going to show up.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I know I've come running in a few times, but it's unusual for you to not be here.
Oh, you guys and gals have had a pretty heavy hitter list of trials and cases in the last little bit. Are you seeing the light at the end of the tunnel on this, or is one steps down and is completed, another one steps up?
That's unfortunately sort of the situation we're in right now. I've seen a decrease. We've done really well with the number of cases we've tried, reducing the number of pending cases. When I started out, there were over 900. We're down now about 250. So that's doable. That's from now until the last trial is set. But it is primarily, you know, overwhelmingly the most serious violent types of felonies that we have waiting to go.
Yeah, listening to the news, it's like all we hear is the heavy duty, the stuff you'd think in the Bay Area where there's a couple million people, you'd hear about some of these groups. We seem to have them here. Is it as simple to think that it's drug culture related? Thank you very much. And that's why we have such prevalence of some of these types of cases?
It's definitely heavily influenced by the drug culture. We do, you know, as any community, still have violence just associated with other
just
causes, you
just
know,
people.
Family violence. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're still going to see that. But we did have, you know, a number of really very high years for homicides and other violence, and we're still digging out from that. As we turn, you know, the page each year, I always hope maybe this year is going to be a little better. But we still have a number of cases to try from last year and the year before. And that is one of the problems that, you know, negatively impacts our ability to get into court and get our cases done, to have that many major cases waiting.
Yeah, you sound like you're a CHP guy.
Do I?
Well, all the amount of vehicular deaths.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, there's got to be a parallel there somewhere. I mean, I don't know what it is necessarily. I haven't taken the time, but there's got to be something that one doesn't happen consistently in a vacuum, and now we have both tracks, if you will, consistently occurring.
Right.
You know, what sets us apart? And that's, I guess a lot of us just go to drugs. That is the
right
thing that makes us unique.
I have to say, too, I went to a vehicular homicide school years ago. Maybe 7-8 years ago. And I was surprised to learn then that Humboldt County was off the charts for vehicle-related incidents, whether it be driver hitting a pedestrian or driver hitting another driver, even in comparison to, say, for example, Reading, which has got the I-5 corridor. So,
percentage or raw numbers?
So percentage, in the sense that
okay,
for our population, we're much higher. So it is an interesting issue, and I do think whatever we can do, you know, to address a lot of those problems, we've got to do, because it continues to be a big problem.
How much I'm setting you up, and I'm sure you're going to feel the hook set, but how much influence does Caltrans have, or do you have with Caltrans in Humboldt County?
Okay. When you say how much influence,
as that swirling, okay.
That, yeah,
see,
sure
I told you you'd feel the hook set.
Winston, with, isn't it time yet?
Yeah. Quick, early break. With the amount of wandering traffic across Broadway 4th and 5th,
we have
from certain population segments.
Yes.
You hear about people getting hit, near hits, things like that. I know that's got to be a huge contributing factor. If there was the divider across the center and a much more engineered Broadway 4th and 5th Street, I would think that would cut down on the numbers. Now, it may be more tricky for some of the emergency services guys, or
right,
that would change some of that. But if the goal is to eliminate the contact, some engineering things along those lines, now maybe cross-prohibitive, but could address some of these real glaring areas, because I would imagine there's not a lot of folks walking across 101 under the 12th Street exit in Fortuna.
Right.
Or in McKinleyville out at the school road exit. It's not happening. It's got to be concentrated there.
Right. And I think that's true. I was at a Caltrans presentation, I'm going to say a couple years ago, and they were talking about, because I know in Southern Humboldt, the discussion was, could we have a divider down near Benbow? And they went back, they and the CHP discussed the pros and cons, and one of the cons is that a lot of times you have more accidents related to drivers driving into the median divider. But I definitely think we have a very unique situation with the level of traffic and all of the other issues associated with as you come into Eureka. And definitely, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm out walking, I go all the way to the corner and wait for the walk sign before I step out.
Yeah, there are
out.
These things called crosswalks
right.
that seem to be uniquely interpreted.
Not what I see. And I drive a lot, leaving work in the evenings. I'm surprised the number of people in the rain, in the dark, who decide to dart across four lanes of traffic.
And to use the merge lane as a safe island.
Right. Right.
It's, I don't know.
It's frightening.
But it seems to be cultural now, or accepted at least.
I don't know that it's accepted. I think there is a...
By lack of action being taken.
Segment of population who's always going to do that, and you've got to figure out how to stop that.
Now I'm glad there's a commercial break coming up, because I got something on my mind. KINS News and Information.
Stay tuned.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, we've got the June election coming up. Are there any things that are on the ballot that you're looking at, or the state DAs are looking at? I know the fall has got a couple of juicy ones for you guys. But is there anything on the June ballot that's
No, we're primarily focused attention? On the, yeah. We're still addressing, trying to resolve some of the issues that we've seen in the past. I mean, I know last time I talked a little bit about Prop 57, and we're still working through figuring out how to cope with the number of people who, with the train, I should step back for a moment, with the change in how people are receiving credits in prison. So then they're coming up for parole earlier than we originally thought would occur at the time of the sentencing hearing. So addressing how all of that works. I recently had a case, it's a good number of years old, and we have to really work hard to try to find the original victims and, give them a heads up, because that's what Marcy's Law requires. We should be doing that. But it's such a tight time frame, and then their question is, well, how much time do I have to write this letter? And it's like, well, now we're down to final few days, because it took us a while to get you. So it's an interesting process. We'll have another conference this summer. I'm going to go to it. And again, this will be one of our topics, because we have to figure out how to do a better job at the time of sentencing. I mean, it's really changing how we're looking at the terms, but also then a better job of making sure our victims are aware of this and helping them through
Stay
the process.
Stay in contact,
yes,
so to speak.
Yeah.
What about the turnover with judges? We have a couple here, okay, but it's normal, it's routine. The judges turn over also. When you get a new magistrate involved, does that make it tougher? And to what extent does that challenge enter into the equation also?
We are in a unique situation because we have so many new judges, and it is similar to what we went through roughly 20 years ago. And, you know, that sort of makes sense when you consider that might be about how long someone stays on the bench. But that's been pretty significant. And then for us, with two, and now actually the third one, all being from the public defender conflict counsel offices, it means all of our major cases were reassigned if that office represented them. So, you know, when the first one...
Even historically?
No, just this last time. So I'm saying this has caused a huge issue for us because, you know, a case that, you know, is a year or 18 months old, and now we're about to go to trial. Oh, that person who's been handling that case has now been appointed to the bench. So now that case is reassigned, and it automatically pushed everything back. And then the next one. And so it happened, you know, three times in pretty short order.
So kind of a real strong ripple effect.
Huge ripple. And then, of course, they've had to get back up to staff because they're replacing those spots, and those were fairly senior, you know, defense attorneys. So that has actually had a much bigger effect and impact on us than necessarily the turnover in judges.
Good thing your staff's a little bit stable, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Now, can you use that fact if your staff is turning over to get delays, or is that a moment of, well, appreciate it, understand it, sympathetic to it, suck it up, let's go?
I think there's always been a notion that prosecutors are much more, and unfortunately the word is fungible. That's actually something they say. Oh, you got, you know, any of you could step in. That is not how I see it.
Fungible?
Yeah.
Is that like a mushroom?
Like, you know, put somebody else in that chair and try this case. And I disagree with that, particularly when you've worked with victims. So there are some code provisions that allow us to say this prosecutor has been assigned the case for a very long time, so we need a continuance based upon they are unavailable. It's primarily with homicides and very serious sexual assault type cases. But I've really pushed that hard. I will also say, you know, we're a small court, so having a good working relationship with the defense bar, we are, you know, pretty good at saying, hey, you know, this case can't go to trial for another 6 weeks because this prosecutor, you know, whether it be because they've got a death in the family or, you know, they're in another case or whatever it is, are you going to be okay with that? And we do that for them as well. Although I have to say, we've just seen too many continuances because of all the changes, and so we really do oppose those. We just have to.
Because otherwise, you'll be twiddling your thumbs today and have too much for tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't help anybody to move today's work to tomorrow, because it just continues to come in.
You can't backfill quick. You
right.
still need a certain
it's
prep time.
It's just too much, yeah.
So how do you handle it?
I try really hard to assign cases from the day they hit the office, because not only is it the best for how we treat victims and witnesses, but it makes us much more effective. It's just much more efficient. If each one of us, you know, I mean, you think about a murder case or a serial rape case, those can be 200-300 pages. They can have, you know, 14 or 15 discs of interviews. They can have 911 calls. They can have photos. They can have DOJ evidence. And if someone has to be reassigned, it sets us back a couple months. So it's not a
just
good
even coming from becoming
exactly.
familiar with it.
Exactly. So you really don't ever want to be in that situation. So I try really hard, you know, to say to people, hey, you watch your calendar, you know, please appear in court so that when your next big case is set, you can say it can't be set that week because I have another case going.
Vacation planning.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What about retirements?
I'm opposed to retirement.
Forced or voted. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming, DA for another 4 years, plus. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag, and Lolita Cheese. You realize that's another 4 years of me, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, that was factored in. Okay, good. Oh. With some of these high-profile sexual assault cases that are going on, you know, Cosby, I guess, is probably the most elongated that we've seen in the national press. Is it making prosecution of those types of cases easier, more challenging, or does everybody just kind of know a little bit more what's going on?
I don't think it's really had an impact. I think for most, you know, when we think of our cases, really we're thinking of our community and our jury pool, and this is true, you know, I've obviously worked in other counties as well. Most people come with a familiarity based on, unfortunately, it's just all too common. So our experience continues to be, in any jury pool, you're going to lose at least one out of every three jurors because they're going to say, this has touched my life. So that continues to really be the biggest issue we see in trying to choose jurors who can be fair. So I don't think it's national stories or well-known individuals who have come forward who have affected how we see these cases proceeding through the courts at all.
Have you seen any bump since the, and boy, am I going to sound stupid, the hashtag thingy?
No, we really haven't.
I don't know Instagram, so I don't know really what it's, any of that stuff.
Right.
But there's not been an increase in the incidence of reporting or less or following trials in the courtroom or any of that kind of stuff?
I think, you know, if you ask civil lawyers who handle these types of, you know, sexual harassment lawsuit, they might have seen a change, and they certainly might see a change in how their cases are either being resolved or handled by the defense. But
you'd see it on the calendars, wouldn't you? Court calendars?
Yeah, those. There you are on the other end of the hallway.
Oh, you don't look at those calendars.
And again, okay. I don't know how common it is here in Humboldt County. I mean, I'm thinking realistically, there's probably been a significant change in L.A. and New York, but we don't really see that here. But for us, it really has always been, as I say, a really unfortunate reminder of how common child abuse and sexual abuse is. I have to say that frequently, I found jury selection to be, you know, almost traumatic for a lot of the jurors because they were bringing, I mean, I had a grandmother one time who started crying and she said, I've never told anybody this, but this happened to me when I was a child. I've never even told my husband about this. But if
really? In the jury setting?
Yeah. And it's just sort of that, you know, experience of watching people say, you know, this was the single worst thing that happened to me as a child, and I knew if I told, no one was going to believe me. So I just don't feel that I could be fair in this case because
almost like group therapy.
Yeah, and it's very, I mean, it's
interesting.
It's really, you can watch the toll it takes on people. And we do questionnaires, and I've always sort of been, hey, if they check the box, I say, let's just excuse them. We don't need to bring them in and question them because for so many, that experience can bring up so much that it's really hard on them.
So if your pool is that, I was, my lottery number came up. Was it last week? Okay. When did, and this is just curiosity, supposed to be on Monday, right? Call, no, deferred, call Tuesday. Call Thursday. Or call for Thursday. Call for Friday. And I was thinking, okay, I've got flexibility in this, but if I'm not in the situation I'm in, how do people prolong or elongate the process? It has changed.
Right. And that's, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think the more we can do, you know, online and that sort of thing, at least partially helps people. Although I imagine if you're a school teacher calling after 5 and being told tomorrow you have to come in, now you're trying to get a substitute. And I can see where it's really difficult. Contra Costa,
aren't they
a lot
like
of
a doctor or somebody who's got appointments.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
But a lot of counties, they bring you in and you sit in the jury room. And in Contra Costa, I probably shared the story with you. I picked a jury one time Monday. There was a guy on there who he did not want to be there. He said, well, I was planning on going fishing this week. I said, okay. Well, in the end, he got excused. I finished my jury on Wednesday. And in Contra Costa, they would. They would just give you another courtroom and another trial. So now I'm in a different courtroom. I'm picking another jury. It's Thursday. He's there. And he says to me, I'm still trying to go fishing. And I thought, you've been sitting here all week bouncing around courtrooms waiting, you know, oh, are you going to be picked on this jury? So hopefully the system that's in place is at least a little bit better than bringing people in and having them literally sit in a room and wait, you know, for the tap to, okay, now you're in.
Interesting. I'm sure people support both approaches. For me, okay, if Monday's shot. Let's either choose, you know.
But part of the issue,
but
though,
that's
is,
not the behind-the-scenes right. stuff that you guys are working on. Right. So Monday, Tuesday, okay, those are messed up. I
yes.
move all the everything.
We try.
We accommodate. And then after Tuesday, okay, you're out of the pool.
We really work hard, you know, if a case is going to resolve it weeks in advance of trial. But it has been my observation that there is something psychological that happens to a criminal defendant when they're sitting in the chair, you know, at the table, and the jury's about to come in. And that is frequently the moment where they turn and they go, I'd like to plead guilty now. So
it's kind of like doing homework.
It's part of
you're waiting until
right.
5 minutes before
it's part
class.
Part of that
yeah.
issue of we bring jurors and then we go, oop, this case resolved. But wait. And that's one thing I
There's
would
more.
Say. Let's trail our cases. Even though yeah. everybody says Friday, absolutely, these three are going to go. I always say, let's trail a couple to Tuesday or Wednesday, because a possibility is one of those courtrooms may open up and we can put another case in and deal with our backlog quicker.
So part of it is management of
yes.
the physicalness of the courts.
Yes. We don't want any court to be dark for a minute. That's my view.
Night court, it's coming around the corner. You heard it here. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. What does summertime look for you right now? Are there a lot more of these larger cases that are coming through the system that you're concerned about, this prolonging or elongation because of vacations, because of travel, that kind of stuff? Or are you just kind of riding the bubble right now?
It's all the same for us. People, you know, the prosecutors in my office are very careful about if they're going to carve out some time because their kids are out of school or whatever. They do it, you know, in between their trials. But we have major trials set from now through fall because we, you know, we can only set so many at a time. The court really doesn't want to be running, you know, 3 homicides simultaneously. Really running 2 would be their max. So
why?
Because it shuts down courts for such a long period of time, and then you're trying to...
Oh, okay. You're just grinding one instead of being able to process 8 or 10 shorter
right.
ones. Okay.
Right, exactly. So the idea is, you know, just recently we tried 2 major cases. Both of them ran somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 weeks. That was 2 courts running full time for that entire time, which means we still have to have other courts that can call all the calendars, the sentencings, do all the preliminary hearings, and then also manage, you know, if in fact we have a time not waived, shorter trial, we've got to get that in a department. So we block it out, and then everybody knows the calendars, and then we really push hard to try to get them to go. The continuances really do hurt everyone, and they're very, very, again, traumatic on victims and witnesses.
Will the jail expansion help, or is that more of the detainees?
It will help. I think it'll help because it's really helping those people who are leaving the jail get the services. That's really the goal in the growth, to make sure that there's a much better transition. And I think that will help because we know it's in those first couple of weeks that if people are going to, you know, not follow through, we see them right back at the jail.
So it might cut down the recidivism.
Yes, and that really
That's my
would
fancy
have,
word for the show, by the way.
Yes.
You had, what was it, fungible?
Yes.
F-U-N-G-A-B-L-E?
I-B-L-E.
I-B-L-E. I got to look that one up.
You do.
I mean, that just sounds like it ought to be a plant. See, I pay attention a little bit.
Yes, you do.
Oh, my. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.